it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody.
I am entirely a whole vibe today.
Happy Thursday.
Big ol' happy Thursday. Sabres start. Like, I'm starting on the lowest parts of this, okay? But the Sabres start, so it means I get to watch hockey. Or watch more hockey from around here.
Right.
Whether that's successful or not, we'll get into that. But because the Sabres play tonight, I get to go on a two-day streak of eating that chicken parm sub.
It's going to be an event. It's going to be an event for you.
I will text you a picture of that.
It's going to be an event.
Yes, it will.
I've also got playoff baseball continuing to go on.
Jays which is the next the part of it because the Jays move on to the next round.
The bullpen game got it done.
The bullpen game. And you know what? It's good because they kind of chunked it in game three. Mm-hmm. They start the pitcher that gives up the bomb to Judge to
right.
tie the game in game three. They start him. He does fine through two innings. But they had questions heading into that game. They got it done. So, great day. Okay, Bills, what you got? Oh, they at least get back to practice.
They are back to practice today. We'll talk with Sal in just about a half hour at 10:30.
But today,
we'll get some of the latest on the injuries. Today, though, is going to be very much Sabres-centric home opener for the season against the New York Rangers, a team that they played pretty well against, at least their goaltender, Igor Shesterkin, did very well against him last year. Many of the new additions will be playing. One of the main ones, though, will not
be. The biggest piece will not.
Mm-hmm. But we'll get more into that as we go along here today from 10 to 12. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. The good news, though, in terms of the injuries for the Sabres, Owen Power went from a non-contact jersey earlier in the week, a contact jersey, and now he is expected to play. He along with Matias Samuelsson, so that is at least good on the blue line for them to have most of their D-core ready to go. Alex Lyon is expected to get the start tonight. I'd be stunned if it was literally anybody else. I think we all would be.
Freshly claimed Colton Ellis would be its selection.
He would be the guy. That would be interesting.
That would be, you know what that would be? Actually, even Alex Lyon's probably going to be an interesting trivia answer one of these days. But
yep.
Yeah, no, it was one of those things where it was legitimately looking like they might not have the entire second pair on defense to start the year. And it's like, oh, okay. I don't care what the analytics are telling us about the Sabres and the prediction charts. That's not a great way to start the year. Yeah, but Power should be back. Injured reserve in hockey is different than it is in football. You can go and assign it retroactively to the day of injury.
Mm-hmm.
Teams probably cheese it every now and then.
Game the system if you can.
Game the system if you can.
I have no issue with that.
And Power in a contact jersey in the day before the game tells me he's ready to go, and it was kind of where they were going to be at all along in order to make a roster spot ready for him. They've waived Alex Georgiev, who was going to terrify me if he had to put on a Sabres uniform in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
So, vibes are up? Question mark?
I'm that's kind of where I want to start. And so you're somebody, you watched a lot of preseason hockey this year for the
As
Sabres.
A matter of fact, I had to do a couple of these games for the station.
You did. I did not. And I spoke on this a little bit last night on the nightcap. But for me, a big part of this, and maybe this is not the right way to do it, but it's how it was for me. I've bought in with this team a few times over the last few years.
My
and,
fault.
And I've gotten burned by it. And so for this year, and mainly after the draft and kind of the lack of finding that second, the top six forward or what have you, I'm going to move on. I'll get there when I get there. About a week or so before the season actually started, I started to get there, and I'm here now. My thing is, though, and I wonder how many other fans are like this, of just how important just this month is for them to actually care about where the team is at. That's maybe not fair to the Sabres, who are dealing with injuries, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, Michael Kesselring, we've already mentioned, and what have you. But maybe not even just this first month, the first week of the season, of having the Rangers and then Boston.
Right. A Boston team that now is bad.
But if you start 0-2, 0-1-1, how quickly do people just go, I can't do this again?
I already can't do this again. And the worst part, I think, is the timing of it, if that happens. Because let's be real about this right now. The vibes around the Bills, a 4-1 team, are not great. They've played poorly through three games. They finally lose one. They lose to a Patriots team that you should have beaten. And now people are, I would say, properly teeing off on the issues that have been there for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also plenty of overreaction going on and misery. Again, it's a fine line. And plenty of people are not recognizing said fine line. But, yeah, if the Sabres start off with two losses again, that is kind of a throwing your arms up in the air and going, what are you good for? Which is kind of why they need to get off to a hot start.
We've talked about a little bit that fast start, and it may not mean anything. I mean, they could get off to a slow start and actually, fun enough, just be just fine. They could get off to a hot start. We've seen that before, and it ultimately mean nothing. But I think for just – look, tonight is going to be a sellout. That's what I was hearing yesterday, and I think it's continuing on it today. Like, it's going to be a sold-out crowd. Great. I've mentioned that the first few games are probably the best to go to because there's nothing dragging you there because they're great, and there's nothing pulling you away because they're bad. It's just the start of a new season and the excitement there. It's very fresh. It's very honest.
And that's the thing about the start of a season is that hope is always abound for every franchise, even the one that is here, unless you're San Jose.
Right.
They are still going through the years-long rebuild. Their roster – anyway, I kid. But my point there is that this team has an opportunity to make a statement early on right away. And there are going to be enough fans in this fan base that say, I've seen this trick before. You're going to pull the wool over my eyes, and the question is when. And this team does get off to hot starts. As a matter of fact, up until December last year, they were having one. Like, granted, they go 0-3-1 to start the year, but when December starts, they're threatening for second in the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
In that division, with Florida and Toronto and Tampa, they're the ones threatening for second place at that point. And then they don't win until Christmas, or the day before Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And the season is lost then and there. My thing is, hope is always going to be there. Fan bases are hilariously forgiving. They can also be hilariously fickle. Tonight is a chance to at least set a tone. It's one game out of 82. I am very interested, when I'm in that crowd tonight, to find out what the attitude becomes as everyone's walking out.
Mm-hmm.
Do fans have themselves a good old time today? Or am I eating a chicken parm sub in sadness? We're going to find out. And again, it's one game. But for a franchise, and in particular a locker room at this point, that needs it, it's pretty important. There's a lot of pieces on this core that was recognized by Kevin Adams. They want to get this done. They want to be the ones to break the drought. They want to effectively be immortalized within Buffalo sports.
Right.
And also, players like to win. You can't keep skating for a team that is so pitted in misery and do it forever. You can only take so much.
Mm-hmm.
Even the most honorable will have that problem. It's one game, but go set the tone. You are facing a team that has Matt Rempe on their power play unit. I know that drove Owen crazy as I'm looking at him over there in the glass. Like, that drove him crazy seeing that. You better beat a team that's starting Matt Rempe on a power play unit. And it also gives us another thing, Zach, if they start out nice and hot. An escape. It gives people a chance to turn away from the Bills, who've kind of irritated them over 3 weeks. And here's a distraction. It gives us, talking on the Extra Point Show here, a chance to talk about something else.
Yeah, I don't have to talk about wide receivers.
Yes.
So cool.
I would love a break from talking about
that. For just a little bit.
I'm talking about first world problems here. But yes, I would love to stop talking about wide receivers for a second. I would love to stop talking about separation score. That's the new phrase that's just going to make me vomit. But the Sabres offer an opportunity for you to have a distraction. Mm. Hey, look at me over here. Like, I got A's on my first two classes in midterms. That's the Sabres starting 2-0. You peek your eye over there and go, huh, okay. Maybe you will be fun this year. And we'll see what happens.
It's a little thing, but yeah.
Enough of the fan base is going to say, I've seen this before, don't you dare. But there's also enough of the fan base that's going to go, okay, show us something.
Mm-hmm.
That's the opportunity they have in front of them tonight.
What's frustrating, too, and we talked a lot about it when it was happening. I think we've maybe not ignored it, but just when it became another lost season, it just kind of all clumped together. This is a team that was able to also go on win streaks. What was that? I mean, they finally won 3 games in a row for the first time in like 2 years last year and what have you. It really was just don't go on a 13-game losing streak.
Right.
And you'll probably be just fine. That is maybe, in trying to be hopeful, but give us a second. Just don't do that. When they start going on that streak, you mentioned it. Like, they start terribly in Europe. They look awful. And the power play continues to be a disaster for a little bit there, what have you. But when the losing streak starts, they're 11-9-1. They've rebounded from a bad start in Europe. Their special teams are not very good, and yet 5-on-5, they're just fine,
they're
if not very good.
As a matter of fact, in November, there's an injury to Thompson.
Yeah.
That they survive.
Mm-hmm. Which is something in years prior, not a thing. Not a thing. They could not survive a Dahlin injury the year prior.
So now you're without your best forward, and you survive. And it's out west.
Mm-hmm.
Sabres after dark early in the season, and they thrive on that trip, actually. And climb toward third in the Atlantic. Threatening for second.
And this is a team that started the year, we talk about Europe, but they started the year 1-4-1. They were not good.
They were not good to start it.
And they were able to climb back in. It's that losing streak right there. And I guess that's at least something that does give me hope. Even though they've done it 2 years in a row where their season has ended because of an unbelievably long losing streak. But it does give me some hope in the sense of, but you've proven you're talented enough to go on some win streaks, to make up some ground you maybe have lost. You just can't go into such a rut that statistically it's an anomaly.
WGR Sports Radio 5.
That's the only thing you can't do, is get into such a rut that you can't get out. They've got talent. I heard Joe and Jeremy talking about it. They don't necessarily have the two star players that are driving everything.
Right.
But they've got the depth. Now, the big piece and the guy that I'm excited to watch tonight is Josh Norris. He took Zach Benson's number 9. That's fine. We'll deal with it later. Zach Benson's number 6. My issue there is nothing really Norris does in particular. It's his health. The most games
right.
he's ever played in an NHL season is 66. That also happens to be by far his best season. 35 goals, 55 points. But outside of that, he's never played more than 60 games except for that one season.
Norris, by the way, in the preseason was fantastic on a line with Thompson. They seem to have chemistry right away. It's going to be very fascinating. Benson playing there. Krebs played there in the preseason as well. It didn't seem to matter. If you have a skilled player that at least knows how to get the puck to them, everyone's going to thrive. It is health. But Norris has an opportunity here. This is the first real look Sabres fans will get at him. He only plays a couple of games, and that's it for last year. And they shut him down with the oblique injury.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember Norris right away trying to find some sort of, I guess I'd call it goodwill within the locker room as a new addition. Because one of the games that he plays, of the two that he plays, is Detroit on the road. That game turns into like scrum central. There's a relatively dirty hit in that game by Detroit. The Sabres, they may be getting their teeth kicked in on the scoreboard, but they stood up and said, no, we're not taking this.
Mm-hmm.
And almost everybody was trying to find a partner that night.
Yeah.
But that's the only real look that you got at Norris. He had a point in that game, by the way. But now there's an opportunity here. Real opportunity to look at a Sabres player in number 9 like nobody has ever been able to do so before. I see you smirking. I know you see what I did
Eichel
there.
Eichel did score last night.
Yeah,
signed,
I know.
Signed his extension, too.
Yeah, that's cool.
Just pointing it out. It did happen.
I'm going to point out that people are going to look at number 9 here and think, wow, that guy's really good.
Well, we were doing that with Zach Benson.
Yeah.
And we moved on.
Yeah.
I'm excited for Norris. There seems to be so much potential there that is locked away behind his injuries.
Right.
And I said something maybe a few weeks ago about him. Just if he can get to 70 games, I'd be thrilled. I would be through the roof. I didn't realize he had hit 60 games one time in his career. I mean, now I'd be through the roof if he was able to hit 70. I know Brayton Wilson put up his bold predictions, and he had, you know, a bold prediction being that Norris plays the entire year. If he's able to do that, that top line, the top end talent they do have, could be incredibly dangerous against an Atlantic division that seems to be on the downswing a little bit here. You mentioned Boston is terrible.
Boston's the only team that you – I'm going to argue with that slightly because Boston's the only team in the Atlantic that you can actually count on being terrible.
No, absolutely. But you have Florida dealing with their injuries. You have Toronto. We're going to see what they look like without Marner. They did get a win last night, 5-2 against Montreal. There is some changes going on. And then, of course, you have the perennial three teams that might make a jump up, Ottawa, Detroit, Buffalo. You really kind of don't know what you're getting with any of them, ever.
You mentioned Montreal, though. That's another team that they were a young mm-hmm. team that punched above their weight class last year. Can you turn around and do it again? Or at least take the next step?
Mm-hmm. We'll see. I'm excited. In part, I think I'm – you know what? Honestly, though, and I do mean this, I think I'm excited because I haven't, for 2-3 months leading up to this, zeroed in on every single decision they've done. The most I've done is in the last 2 weeks of just, okay, let's get back into hockey. Let's, you know, hear what this team is doing and that team is doing and listen to some podcasts. And it's allowed me to just take a breath with them a little bit. And that's for me personally. I'm not saying that's got to be for everybody, but for me personally. And this may also help them this year, the Olympic break. They're going to have a lot of games clumped together.
Yep.
We mentioned it. It could be one of those things. If they get on a run, there's almost nothing stopping it. You just keep going and going and going and going. There's no real practice time either. It's literally just you're playing games. In the same vein, though, it could be a real negative. If they're getting into a rut, again, there may not be anything to get them out of it. The hope there is, and say what you will about Kevyn Adams, he did mention it multiple times. He knows he botched the 13-game losing streak and not making a move. So you hope if they're ever even remotely near that same situation again, he learned from the past mistakes and is willing to make a move, willing to do something. Because I get it. You're on a lot of teams, no trade lists and what have you. But at least to try to do something.
I'm going to be a little bit more apprehensive on the general manager in terms of moves that he can and would prefer to make. But that is not tonight.
No.
Tonight is about the home opener. It is about the first game of the season. It is about trying to start 1-0. It is about trying to invigorate a fan base that is desperately asking you to do it for them. How often does this station even talk about this team now? That's the problem. They've become almost the forgotten child. It's an opportunity to at least start the year and go, let's see what you got.
Okay, yeah.
That is the opportunity here.
803-0550, the number to call. Your thoughts going into tonight as the Buffalo Sabres will open up the season at home against the New York Rangers. 6 p.m. pregame, 7 p.m. puck drop. We'll go to the phones here as Frank is first up today. Frank, how we doing?
Good, thanks. I wanted to talk about two things when it comes to the Sabres. First of all, I just wanted to point out earlier you had said that Owen Power was in a contact jersey, yep. Which is kind of like jumbo shrimp, I think. It's kind of a whether he's in a contact jersey or not, I don't think that much matters when it comes to him as far as contact goes. And then second of all, the thing I'm worried about the Sabres and I'm looking for and I'm hoping that they really improve on, and you can even point to the last preseason game, and I know preseason isn't necessarily a barometer of how the team is going to be, but it points to what has really hurt this team, especially over the last two or three years, is that they get a lead in the third period, and eventually you can almost see the writing on the wall. They gave it up. They had a two-goal lead in that Pittsburgh game, and I said to myself, uh-oh, they have a lead going into the third period. So I guess that's all I wanted to say about that. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Frank. Frank, thanks for the call. Owen Power, he's going to have to deal with that forever, isn't he? First of all, whether it's right or wrong, he is going to have to do something to prove it.
First of all, a non-contact jersey also means don't hit him in practice. But, you know, any way you can make that joke, you go ahead and do it.
That was something for them, though, last year, right? It was the losing the leads. I'm thinking about the – I know Paul's brought this up, the Colorado Avalanche game. In the middle of that losing streak, it's their fourth straight loss. That's one of them, isn't it, where they
do it twice, actually, with Colorado.
They do it twice in that game.
In that season with Colorado. They do it twice to the same franchise, actually. As a matter of fact, Pittsburgh, the team that beat them in said last preseason game, does this to them as well early in the year. Where Buffalo, instead of walking away with a victory, they end up going home with an overtime loss. I'm not going to use Alex Georgiev in net as a barometer for how it's going to go again this year. I'll tell you that right now. And I'll say that with confidence, and I'll say it with my chest. I'm not going to go ahead and use the line that I usually do with the Bills in the playoffs, which is last year's or previous performances do not guarantee future success or failures, because I am talking about a team with such a long playoff drought. It would actually be naive of me to use that same sort of argument. What I am going to say, though, is that it is indeed a new season. And unfortunately, through either hell or high water, we're going to find out together what they are again.
I just hope they're not out of it by Christmas. 803-0550, the number to call. Feelings on the Sabres as they begin their season tonight. We'll also get a word in on the Bills when we come back as they get back to practice today with them playing on Monday. We'll get a word in on the injuries as well.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Were the big ones. Matt Milano going to be week to week, but maybe Ed Oliver could be a full participant today. Zach Capaccio will join the show next for more of a word on the Bills. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Welcome back, everyone. Before we do get to Sal Capaccio, are you ready to take your game day to the next level? Enter an online now at WGR550.com for your chance to win a 300 tailgate trace certificate from Alibaba Kebab to feed 12 football fans each Friday. A winner will be announced during Football Friday with Shope and the Bulldog. Fire up your taste buds at any of their three locations. Now, we head to the Western Hotline as Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, the Bills get back to work today, but first off, sorry about the Yankees, bud. Sorry.
Hey, it's good talking to you guys. I'll talk to you later.
Hey, I didn't even do it. Zach did it. So
I was actually just leaving the house and thinking about am I going to get some alert today that, you know, Aaron Boone's been fired? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think so, right? I mean, like, this has been many years, and I'm not saying, oh, my God, go fire him. I'm not generally like that. I get it. Like, if they do, I'm totally fine with it. But I was just wondering that today. It was a tough one. Listen, I'm disappointed. I'm upset. But, man, like, when you lose to a better team, and they were just a machine. The Blue Jays were just a machine hitting the ball. It's unbelievable. And they got a great outing last night from their bullpen. But overall, they are just incredible on offense, and they have kind of a little bit of a mix of everything that you need, right, with contact, especially contact. But they have some power. And, you know, they can run the bases. So they're just, they deserve to win. They were the better team, no doubt about it.
Sal, I will tell you, and this is as a neutral fan, I'm just watching the games. When Dominguez hit the double, though, in the bottom of the ninth, right away I was like, oh, here we go. Like, and again, neutral wasn't like I was having bad feelings for the Blue Jays. It was just more like, oh, here we go. Because it's a guy that it's first at bat of the postseason. This is what he does. And, you know, they're panning over to Judge, like, only a few more batters away. I was like, stop it. Don't do this to me. I was having fun.
I was actually listening or thinking back on words that you said to us yesterday, Sal, of no team is dead between the two of them with how their bats work, that until the game is over, it's not over. And that started off in the ninth, and I'm like, oh, no. Sal's words are resonating with me right now. I'm afraid.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I was glad that Judge didn't make the last out, right? I mean, he's in – that it didn't come down to every highlight reel in America shows the last out all the time, right? And I'm just glad it wasn't him making the last out because it's Aaron Judge. And he had a phenomenal series, obviously. And here we go, another year of no, you know, World Series for Aaron Judge, and it sucks. But he was incredible. You know, he hit that, obviously, that iconic home run. But it kind of becomes a footnote, to be quite honest with you now, which really sucks, you know, for that reason. So, hey, you know, it's funny. You roll into – you get the final Yankees game last night and then the first Sabres game today, and – it just keeps moving, right?
I did think about, like, bringing you in, going, like, one season ends and another begins, but I was like, that might be a little mean, but yeah.
It's right, but it's okay. I mean, I'll be at the game tonight. You know, we're going, and I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see the Sabres tonight. I'm excited about, you know, a new hockey season. Everybody's 0-0. You just never know, and, you know, we'll see where it goes. So it stinks. It's okay. I do wonder, though, who I'll be rooting for as the playoffs go on. I have not made like a definitive choice. I do not like despise the Blue Jays or anything like that. It's a nice rivalry with the Yankees. It's like, you know, you hate them in the moment, you know, when you're playing them, but it's very, very hard for me not to like Vlad. I love Vlad. I've loved Vlad since he came into the league to do the Bisons. It's really great. And I know that Bichette has a chance to come back later, you know, but I don't know, because I like the way the Brewers play, and I know it's the other league. And yeah, the Mariners are fun to watch. I'll root for the Blue Jays over the Tigers. If it's Blue Jays Mariners, yeah, I'll probably still root for the Blue Jays, I guess, and then we'll see what happens in the World Series.
Just anybody but the Dodgers. That's the key for me. Anybody but the Dodgers.
Yeah, I would agree with this.
Sal Capaccio here on the Western Hotline. Sal, for the Bills, it's been a little bit of a weird week with it being Monday Night Football. So the first practice and the first injury report is actually going to be today. We talked a little bit yesterday. The Ed Oliver Instagram post probably doesn't mean too much, but it could mean he might be in line for either being a full participant or just being on his way to, you know, playing on Monday. It could be a huge boon for the Bills. What else, though, are we looking for today?
Yeah, and I like seeing that from Ed. Like, I think Ed came into this year, we were told by Brandon Bean during the preseason, during a radio production meeting, how like much he really loved what he saw from Ed through training camp. Like, he said he had one of the best training camps he's had. And then he carried it over into week one, right, against the Ravens. He was great in that game, but he was great. And he was very disappointed last week when we talked to him, like, just about the injury and not being able to kind of build on week one and just kind of having that setback. So I just think mentality wise, I'm glad that Ed is ready to rock and roll and wants to get back after it. And he said he wants to be dominant again, like he was week one. When he gets back out there, I do think it means that he's probably trending in a very good direction to playing. It seemed like he was close last week. We'll hear from Sean McDermott a little bit later today. We'll find out more about Matt Milano. Feels like he's not going to play this week. He was termed week to week. You have one game. It's a non-conference game. Then you have a bye week. So you're probably looking at that. Plus, they did, you know, re-sign Bale Inspector to the practice squad yesterday. That's probably an indication, you know, linebacker, they're a little thin. I think Dorian Williams is the guy there, though, you're looking more at. You know, what's the situation with Dorian Williams? Is he going to be available this week or not? That's probably the big one we're looking at right now.
Yeah, Sal, when it comes to how the linebacker core is looking and the health of it right now, I am excited, though, to see a little bit more of Shaq Thompson. He's become a sneaky addition with this Bills team through the first five games.
Yeah, me too. I think he's really been a pleasant addition, a pleasant surprise in a lot of ways. Maybe some people thought, hey, he's going to come in and have this role. When he was signed, I thought, depth guy for preseason and training camp, see what he's got, good veteran to have in the room, probably not going to make the team. And then as training camp and preseason went on, guys, I really was like, wow, wait a minute. Like, they're going to have a role for him, I think. And, you know, I had him on the 53, on my projected 53, just from what I saw during camp and preseason, that he was going to make the team, and he did. And he does have a very clear role in this team, and now that role is becoming even more prominent and stepping up, especially with these injuries at linebacker. He's done a very good job. He's very versatile. He can play all three linebacker positions. He's not the same Shaq Thompson he was when he came in the league. He can play like a safety linebacker hybrid. They will put him there sometimes, but he's not the same kind of player. But, man, he still brings a lot to the party when he gets there. And every game, it seems like he's making some sort of hit that gets everyone energized. And I think it's very, very beneficial to have him on the roster right now.
Sal, looking around at the rest of the linebackers too, I know we focused a lot on the secondary and even Matt Milano as well in the linebacker room, but another player that maybe has been kind of up and down this year, maybe not totally playing up to the contract extension he got, was Terrell Bernard. As much as, yeah, like Shaq Thompson, you mentioned it, like there really, it feels like it's been a hit every game where he's gotten going. It's not like Terrell Bernard's been completely silent. He's still got that eye for the ball. He still seems to be around every takeaway the Bills have. But what have you seen overall from his season through five games?
Yep. Hey, sorry, guys. I lost you for a moment there. Just asked me to record you talking.
Sal, we still got you?
Yep, you got me. Sorry about that. I went to a bad spot there for a second. Could you just repeat what you said there? And I stopped at the beginning of it.
Just Terrell Bernard. What have you seen overall through his first five games?
Yeah, you know, I think that Terrell has had some ups and downs. Seems to make critical plays. Chris Brown called him Mr. Fourth Quarter when he came up with that that kind of clutch player. But I think you want a little more consistency from the through four quarters. And I think when your run defense is struggling, a lot of times you look right at the middle linebacker, and this is not a Ray Lewis throwback type of linebacker. I mean, I love Terrell Bernard and his game, right? No doubt about it. But Terrell Bernard's the kind of linebacker that, you know, he can't just go plug A-gaps by himself at his size. He's going to need some help up front. I think maybe, you know, when this team gets Ed Oliver back, and hopefully that's this week, I think everybody's going to be better. And that includes Terrell Bernard behind him. That includes Joey Bosa. That includes Greg Rousseau, because he's going to help the interior of the defense have to be focused on a little bit up front. And I think that will allow Terrell Bernard to do a little bit more. So I think he's got to be a little more consistent from what we've seen through four quarters. But he's still making a few, you know, big plays, and that's what you need from Terrell Bernard, and that's who he's always been.
It is frustrating. I mean, Sal, you mentioned it there too. Like, Ed Oliver coming back is probably going to help out Terrell Bernard, and it's been one of the more disheartening, frustrating, however you want to put it, things about the start of the season. Yes, they're 4-1, but we really just have not been able to see what this defense looks like at its full complement. Of course, with the guys with suspensions, but even your first round pick is ultimately injured, and we have no idea how that's going to go the rest of the year after his LCL sprain, Max Harrison. It's just we're seeing some of these trades starting to come in, Sal. We saw a corner-for-corner trade last night as well. I just wonder, you know, where the Bills are going to find a spot, if they even want to make a move with not having any time to see how this defense looks all put together.
Well, I know that it's going to sound like, well, that's not really the same thing, but let's remember they're getting two guys back from suspension. And it is right before the trade deadline. So, yes, I know the team can say, well, or fans can say, you know, this is like a trade deadline acquisition. And it's not, but it kind of is, right? Because they are being added into a team. And the difference is they already know the system. They've been here. They've been working with the team. Talking about, obviously, Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi. I do think those guys will help a lot. I think especially Michael Hoyt. I don't know what Larry Ogunjobi, how much he can help necessarily, because they do rotate and have numbers there and decisions to make. I think Michael Hoyt is going to be a big part of this team going forward. I think they have a big plan for him. They had a plan for him when they signed him. He's going to be able to move around the defense, do a lot of different things. So that's number one. Number two is you do have a bye week coming up after this week. If there are any moves planned by Brandon Bean before the November 4th trade deadline, this might be the week you want to do it. Maybe you get a guy in that he can, you know, really kind of get into the building a little bit early. You're not sacrificing missing him for a game while he's got to be on the active roster. So we'll see. I do think, you know, the team will look to see if they can help themselves at secondary if they feel they're not going to get any more contribution from Max Harrison or Dorian Strong. But we don't know that, right? That's a big question mark right now. And those are things you're going to have to look at numbers-wise.
Sal, obviously the offense had a little bit of struggles in the New England game, particularly on the ground. But the thing that I'm getting more and more fascinated by through the first five games of the year, though, it's Dalton Kincaid. The guy is playing fantastic, and he's not even getting truly half of the snap share as of late. What has it been like, though, to watch Kincaid grow right now? And could we maybe be seeing more of him actually getting a higher snap percentage going forward?
Well, I don't know about the snap percentage. Mm-hmm. I think that they have a philosophy of how they want to use their tight ends, and it's working out for them. They run 13 personnel, and they run it a lot, and they do it well. And the running game has been very good. Now, it wasn't as good last week, but they're actually better against the Patriots than most teams were against the Patriots. But yeah, I think you got to be careful with that, Derek. Like, it's great to see the ascension of Dalton Kincaid, but maybe part of the ascension is that he's not having all these snaps. And he has to do all these other things, right? Like, part of it is you're keeping him fresh. And when you need him to do different things, he can be on the field. So I wouldn't rush to just say put Dalton Kincaid on, because the more he's on, the less maybe Jackson Hawes is off the field, right? And you could say Dawson Knox too, and that's fine. But I think the Bills have a good philosophy of how they're running it. I don't know if anybody's really eager to just start upping everyone's snap counts, because he's been really efficient. And I think that part of the efficiency is the amount that he's on the field.
Sal Capaccio here on the Western Hotline. Sal, last thing for me, has nothing to do with the NFL. I don't know, though, did you see the Bill Belichick reports from yesterday from Ollie Conley? His buyout of $1 million, they may be heading in that direction.
I did. I mean, you're talking to a guy who's not that surprised.
I know.
I was the first on this train years ago, and sorry, but I've been wrong a lot in my life. It's one thing I've been pretty damn right about, and that's that Bill Belichick is not the greatest coach ever, and he had Tom Brady with him. And, yes, he's the most accomplished coach ever, and there is a difference between that. And when he got the job at North Carolina, my first thought was, this is not going to go well. Like, he is not suited for the college game, and he's going to want all this control, do all this stuff, and think he can run it like a pro program, and he can't do that. And now look where they are. It's an embarrassment right now what's going on at UNC that they have to put out a joint statement between the AD and Bill Belichick that they're on the same page, and they're clearly not. I mean, allegedly he's getting like investigated yep. by the school itself for recruiting violations. Mm-hmm. And you know what that means, right? They're looking for a reason to not give him his buyout.
And that's the funny thing. It's $1 million buyout. That is one of the cheapest buyouts in college sports. Deion Sanders is 33.6. Steve Sarkisian at Texas is $60 million.
You know what? Who's the Mike Norvell? No, it's not Mike Norvell. DeBoer.
DeBoer, $60 million. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was over $70 million when the season started. It might be 60-something now. It's crazy, right? Like, I agree. I said it years ago when they were still winning. He is a great, great defensive mind. He's a great football mind. But his success was largely and mostly due to having Tom Brady. Now, I will tell you, I do think Tom Brady needed Bill Belichick. I think they were great for each other. But Brady went on. He still won. But he probably doesn't become the person he is without, and the quarterback he is without Bill Belichick. And I think Brady would tell you that. But this is not a surprise to me. And when he got the job at North Carolina, my first thought was, this is going to end poorly. And I kept saying, now, granted, there's no guarantee this is going to happen still, and it might still backfire because Syracuse's quarterback is out. They're not that good right now. But I just kept thinking, I cannot wait to see Fran Brown beat Bill Belichick. Like, yeah. That would be amazing. And I still think it could happen, even with
Syracuse's situation.
Well, and that's the thing too. It's one of those things. Don't look at their record. North Carolina's 2-3. Their two wins are against FCS opponents. Their three losses against FBS opponents, none of them close. I mean, they are just getting run over by anyone that has even similar standards of athletes to them. But it's going to be something to keep an eye on over the next few weeks. Doesn't seem like it's going to happen immediately, but it does seem to be trending in that direction.
I mean, they play Syracuse and UNC play Halloween night at the Dome. Okay, and I don't know by then if Bill Belichick's even going to be the coach of the Tar Heels.
Yeah, honestly, it's going to be something to keep an eye on. Sal, though, before we let you go, schedule for today. You did mention Sean McDermott's going to speak probably here pretty soon with the media.
Yeah, he'll be talking a little before noon, and we'll get an update on injured players' participation today. And then the injury designations for the game won't come out until Saturday this week, guys, so we won't have that like we normally do on a Friday. It'll be Saturday this week.
All right, sounds good. Sal, we'll let you get ready for practice then, and we'll talk again soon.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
All right, Sal, thank you.
Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. We'll also be talking with Paul Hamilton coming up in about 15 minutes at 11 o'clock. Get ready for tonight's game. Let CRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence intercept your heating bills. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 towards your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. Contest does end January 4th of 2026. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today. 803-0550, the number to call. You want to give your thoughts on tonight's opener for the Sabres. You want to talk Bill Belichick? I'm happy to do that. I think it's one of the craziest things I've seen in sports in a long time. It's embarrassing on all fronts for everybody. Or you want to talk Bills? Love to hear your thoughts as well. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Tailgate Trivia is back, presented by Total Sports Enterprise Buffalo. Listen during every Bills game for your chance to call in, answer the trivia question, and win autographed Bills merch, courtesy of TSE Buffalo. Zach Jones, Derek.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kramer, wrapping up hour number one here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. The Sabres are in action tonight to open up their season at home against the New York Rangers. We'll be talking to Paul Hamilton here in just a few minutes. Real quick, though, on the Bill Belichick thing. I mentioned it. I think it's one of the most embarrassing things I've seen in sports in a while. And in part, it's because it came in weird.
Right.
And it's leaving weirder. There were two documentaries that have been axed that were supposed to happen. If you remember, there was thoughts that there were going to be a Hard Knocks college edition at North Carolina.
Yep.
Kaput. Bills obviously take over as Hard Knocks, and that moves on. They also were going to do a Hulu documentary, you know, inside North Carolina football.
Right.
Kaput. Gone. Everything going on internally within the program. And then also even just opening night for them against TCU, where they start off hot and get blown out. You go to the post-game podium, and it's Bill Belichick in front of a bunch of balloons like it's a baby shower because of the Carolina blue. I mean, it just looked so weird. It's never looked right. And then, if you missed it, we were talking with it just a few minutes ago with Sal Capaccio, the buyout clauses. Ali Conley reported
it is obnoxious
that North Carolina is looking for recruiting violations to shrink an already obnoxiously low buyout. It's $1 million. Alabama, not that long ago, following the loss to Florida State, was genuinely discussing, or at least the fans were genuinely discussing, removing or firing Kalen DeBoer. His buyout was around $60 million. It started this year around $70. And they're not having the best time in the NIL era in terms
no,
of just
not.
How much money is there. It's the northern programs like Notre Dame, Ohio State, and the Texas programs, Tech and Texas, that are really dominating. Bama is having a tough time. Nick Saban, in his last few years, was constantly like going to boosters and essentially begging for money for more NIL. And they were talking about $60 million to fire a coach in a second year.
Yeah.
North Carolina's just trying to shrink that $1 million a little bit. Why?
And so I have been fascinated for over like the past year with the investigative work of Pablo Torre.
Yeah.
And his LeBron James-like run that he's been going on, especially over this past summer, and it culminates with the looking into the NFLPA.
Mm-hmm.
That run starts, though, with what he was investigating with Bill Belichick. So I am not surprised about any of this. The downfall of Bill Belichick will need to be investigated is what I would be saying if Pablo Torre didn't find out.
It hadn't already done it. It's just his last now 5 years as a coach have been embarrassing, to say it lightly. I mean, it's been some of the most embarrassing you've seen. I don't think it's going to tarnish his legacy. I kind of been dancing around that. I don't think it'll tarnish it, but I don't think this is also going to be Michael Jordan with the Wizards where everyone's like, yeah, that happened, whatever. Like, we move on. Like, you know, look at the Chicago stuff. It won't be Bill Walsh going to Stanford and being a bad college coach. I think it will be a little bit more where everyone's kind of like, yeah, the Patriots stuff was great. He was awesome. The end, though, was pretty awful, and it got weird. And it got weird fast.
Considering that it's getting weird fast already, halfway through a year, you've got coach and athletic director going, I support Bill Belichick. And Bill Belichick going, I'm here to coach at North Carolina.
Yeah, I was going to say, we were talking about it with Sal, and he mentioned the statement, and I thought about it. And I'm like, man, we're using the word statement loosely here because it's both a sentence each. Like, and it's not what you're expecting. It's very hollow, and it does not feel like they're going in any sort of good direction. It does feel like this is going to wrap up fairly soon. I don't know about within this month, but this is the only year.
This is also what happens when you surround yourself with nothing but yes men.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah. That's. I mean, we heard about it when he was looking for a job in the NFL, that he had just a bunch of his guys that he worked with for years that were essentially, you know, a counsel for a king.
Yep.
Where just, well, what's going on in the NFL? What jobs could I maybe get? I mean, you're right. Like, he is kind of the epitome of, I surround myself with yes men. Nothing I do will ever be wrong. 803-0550, the number to call. Paul Hamilton on the way next as we get ready for tonight's season opener against the New York Rangers. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, you're listening to WGR.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.